Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
This is the Boop Show, episode 185 for Monday, August 20th, 2018. Join us. Yeah. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Boop Show. Brian's doing all kinds of camera work today. Freaking me man. Freaking me out. What are you doing?
Right now, I'm extremely oversaturated with red. Trying to turn that down.
Things are a little red where you are. Just
I just
ate a Tasty Cakes jelly roll, and I feel like I got a sugar problem all of a sudden.
Oh, God. Tasty Cakes are so delicious.
They're amazing. What's going on with this store-bought crack? I don't understand.
I don't know.
We don't get them here, so these had to be sent to me from someone in New Jersey because they don't carry them in the stores I go to.
But, I'm from Jersey, and I have all the Tasty Cakes, mm-hmm. and now I'm sending them to you.
Every Tasty Cake in the world is right here right now.
What a great marketing scheme. I mean, you know what you should call these? Tasty Cakes. Yep. How can anybody argue with that?
Yeah, what are
these
they?
Tasty Cakes are disgusting.
They're like cakes, and they're tasty. Done.
Right?
There's your name.
I want to play Fun Game. That's the game I want to play. Fun Game.
All right. Well, speaking of fun games, that's what we talk about here on The Boop Show. Plenty to discuss. It's been a weird week for me. I'll start in the weirdest place. Scott Johnson, you know him, you love him. Or maybe you don't. I don't know. I shouldn't assume that.
Yeah, you know him and you hate him.
He spent a whole lot of time in World of Warcraft Battle for Azeroth.
Shocking.
You may have heard of this. It's a video game of some renown.
I hear it is a MMO.
This is correct. It. Well done. I see you've been keeping up on things. The video I'm showing now is a Tauren running some quests, and I did that on purpose because that's the character Brian used to play, or the race he used to play.
Yeah, if you want to pull me in, just start talking about Tauren hunters, and I'm a sucker. I mean, I play just about every race eventually, but the only thing that really just cranked my yank was that Tauren hunter. And I'm telling you, man, I have a problem. That's the reason why I don't play. People are like, oh, don't you like World of Warcraft? Oh, I like it a little too much. It's kind of like the gambler.
Kind of like me.
It's like, no. Yeah.
Yeah. I've had a bit of
you actually have. I'll say you have some restraint.
You think so?
Because you could easily. I think you got some constraint. Now, I can't blame you for being excited about a new thing, but I think you got a little bit of restraint.
I feel like this is the week where my restraint has been tested because for whatever reason, I'm more into this expansion than I have been in the past. And so far, it's really good. They did a really dastardly thing this time around. And I just did a tweet about this. It'll be interesting to see the replies I get on the instance account. But they did this thing. It's a little dastardly. Yes. The entire expansion is set up to be a return to the antagonism between the Horde and the Alliance. To remind us all that, hey, you're supposed to have, you know, faction warfare and faction competition and all this stuff, which is great. It's a good time. And the entire expansion's built around that, about that competition. It's literally called Battle for Azeroth, and on the cover and the art and all the key art and everything, it's pictures of the Alliance and the Horde heading off, facing off one another in a way that they haven't.
For the Horde.
Time. Maybe not even this much antagonism since, like, Warcraft 2, you could almost argue. So, because of that, you'd think, oh, all right, well, this whole expansion will be me just hating on my Alliance foes. And then they did a sneaky thing. And I'm not sure they meant to, but this is what the result is. They made a game where they, for the first time in all the expansion's history, they've never had an expansion do this before. They have two completely separate campaigns for each faction. So in the past, it would be, all right, here's a new world, a bunch of stuff to do, and you can kind of start where you want to start, but in the end, we're all going to see the same stuff.
Right.
Right. So all the story, all of the questing, all that stuff's going to be. Horde is going to see exactly what Alliance sees, and that's how it was supposed. That's how it was sort of, you know, proposed. And in this particular case, completely tore up that idea, and now it's a completely different experience depending on which side you're on for the leveling experience. And both sides are really cool, is the other thing. Really rad story stuff and character stuff and quest lines and all kinds of cool stuff. And as a result, it has driven me and a number of people I know to also have alternate characters on the opposing faction.
No, my life is hard enough. I don't need to be playing both factions. Thank
well,
you very much.
That's what I said until I saw some of the cool stuff they were doing, and now I want to see it. I went so far as to, during the live taping of the last instance on last Friday, I bought, or I didn't buy, I bought a character boost for an old character I haven't touched in like 8 years. And
oh, they feel so neglected, just like just like my spouse, right?
Yes.
You haven't touched me in 8 years.
Yes, basically that. So I got this character named Roy. He's a
first name Lee.
He's a night elf druid, first druid I ever made. So that's another thing.
Oh.
And I'm trying all of that the other side out because I already hit 120 with the horde side, and I'm loving it. The game's really good. I don't have a ton more to say about it that I haven't already said on other shows, and people are thinking, is this a good time to get in for the first time? Yes. Is it a good time to come back? Yes. Is it a good time to keep going? Yes. All those things are true. If you like World of Warcraft in any way, this is a great
experience. It's hard to argue with World of Warcraft. It is a fantastic, beautiful, rich game that is well worth the $14.99 that people pay per month. Absolutely. You definitely get your bang for your buck. I don't think Blizzard has ever, and as far as for my take, has ever really taken advantage. I've always gotten more than they demand for me.
Yeah.
And my only complaint is just the consumption of the game. It's too much for me. I'm just can't do it.
Oh yeah. If you don't have any time right now. Okay. So if you've approached me and said, hey, all those things, I really like what you're saying, but I'm working two jobs and I barely see my kids. Should I play World of Warcraft? Probably not.
Probably not. No.
Probably not.
Love all you. Love your kids. Love them.
That or just spread out your gameplay in a way that is actually antithetical to the way the game
works. I always say that every
time
you drag me back in, I always say it. I'm like, okay, all right, just 1 hour on Tuesday nights and Thursday nights, and that's it.
Yeah.
And then I'm like peeking in at lunchtime. I'm just going to take a little quick peek in here, and I'm just going to pop into the chat, and I'm just playing a little bit, and and now here comes my boss, and I'm fired.
Yeah, you're not wrong about any of this. This is how I play as well, so it's kind of been a problem for me. Although I've been doing it, I've been staying pretty clean and sober in the daytime, and I'm waiting until way too late at night to play. So I have been playing, but very late at night, and that's dumb too because nobody should be doing that with their time. The video we're watching right now is somebody who's running a bunch of mods. Normally the screen's not this goofy looking, but that's fine. People do what they're going to do.
Oh, like somebody's going to get turned off. Oh, look at that goofy looking screen. I'm not playing this. I'm out.
Well, it's just all these tags. These. I don't know. Yeah. I don't like their
UI like it. I used to. That was one of my favorite things back in the day. I'm a big modder. You know I love modding
stuff.
Yeah,
you like those mods. Sure.
I used to love ganking up my UI screen, man. Just whatever I could do. It's like, oh, can I put Winamp in there? Sure, why not? Can launch some Peggle? Let's do it.
I forgot they had that Winamp plugin.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's gone now.
It really whips the llama's ass.
They don't do that anymore.
Right there in Azeroth.
Yeah, they don't do that anymore, and they don't have Peggle anymore, and they don't have, what was the other one they had? They had Bejeweled in there for a while.
Yeah, did they crack down all that? I mean, is that all cracked down so that people can't really...
Well, yeah.
To the client, or they still allow that much?
No. Well, now EA owns that company since that was a thing,
right?
So I don't think EA is into letting people do it. I'd be surprised if that was something you could still.
Ooh, if I could play Simpsons Tapped Out while playing World of Warcraft, that would be the double deadly deal because around the holidays, I always get a hankering for that Simpsons Tapped Out game because I love seeing all the stupid Halloween stuff and Treehouse of Horror and all the tie-ins and stuff. That'd be a bad time.
Well, if EA is not letting you use Peggle or Bejeweled, I can guarantee they're not going to let you use Simpsons Tapped Out, which is also an EA.
Come
game.
On!
No, EA, man. They don't want
But I'll give them but Peggle. They're not going to get no money. But Tapped Out, I could be double dipping. I could be double purchasing while I'm in the game.
This is true. Anyway, it's a cool game. I love it. And one nice thing is if you do get in now, they've changed the price structure of the way the game works. So it used to be in the past, if you wanted to catch up and get caught up with everybody, you had two things to pay for. You had to buy a previous set of expansions and original game.
Yeah,
They were usually heavily discounted. It wasn't like a ton of money or something, and they would have a special.
It was like $20. Every time I get back in, I always had to pick up at least one upgrade for about $20.
Yeah, and then so you had the original plus whatever the current expansion was. Then when the new expansion comes out, you pay $39 or whatever it is for that, or the if you're buying the better edition with all the stuff in it, then maybe pay $49. But they no longer have that. Basically, you buy the new expansion, so you'd buy Battle for Azeroth, and you've got right. The entire game from then. Going back,
so that, damn you, that's really.
I know it's a great, it's good. You still pay your subscription, all that stuff's still true, but you don't got to go buy all the old stuff, which is nice.
Do you get a free month free when you sign up for when you get the new expansions? That they used to do that too.
I want to say that you do if you buy for the first time, but if you are somebody who skipped, let's say, because you're in a case where you haven't played since what, Wrath of the Lich King or something. It's been a while.
Burning Crusade. What was it?
There's Burning Crusade, and then there was Wrath of the Lich King.
Yeah, I think Lich King was.
I played a little Lich King with you. So you already own everything up through Lich King. You didn't get Cataclysm, Pandaria, Warlords, or the last one, Legion, or this one. So there are four expansions you don't have to pay for now. You just have them. They're just part of your deal. You just get now whether you want to go play all that old content or not is up to you, but. Point is, you no longer have to go buy the battle chest. At some point, it gets kind of ridiculous, and they agreed, and now they don't do that. So it's kind of nice.
Battle chest!
Battle chest, indeed.
Battle chest!
So that's that. Brian, tell me a little about Alter Cosmos.
There you go. Alter Cosmos. The Waves of Distortion. I don't know. Okay, look.
Altered or altered? Alt or alter?
And this is it's singular, Alter Cosmos. I always want to call it Alters Cosmos, but no, it's just Alter Cosmos. What is it, you say? Well, it's a game I picked up on Indie Gala this past week when they had their Indie game sale. I like to pick those up from time to time.
Remind people what Indie Gala is. What is that? What's the deal?
Indie Gala, however you want to say it, is IndieGala.com. It's just one of those Humble Bundle kind of places where they sell bundles at a discounted price. In this case, I think it was $5. I think I paid like $4.99 for the whole bundle. The price increases as more and more people buy it, so you always are better off buying early on. I think it landed like around $5.50 or so. So it didn't go up too high, but I did pick this up. Got some other games too, but it was mainly for this game because I looked at it and I thought, this looks great, because it is a game that draws from those 90s indie comics. Remember the 90s indie comic scene?
Sure.
Where people, they drew, all these great, terrible looking characters and odd worlds that were out there. Well, this is like that. You're a cat who is abducted by aliens, and that you're experimented on, and you turn into this alien bug, alien cat hybrid thing, and everything just seems like a rock and roll, man. It's just so 90s indie comic rock and roll. You watched Ion Flux, right?
Yeah, Ion Flux, that whole deal. Yeah, I love that stuff.
Yeah, so those kind of styles where everything's a little bit, the weights are kind of weird because it's like, wow, why would anyone's rib cage be shaped like that? And their torso is so long. And it's kind of that visual style. I got a lot of cross hatchings and stuff, and everything is just dirty.
It looks like an adventure game. Is that what I'm looking at? Click, point, and click adventure.
You're
game?
Right. You're right. So let's get on to what the game is. It's an adventure game. So yeah, it's mostly point and click adventure. You're navigating very simply. I use the controller. You navigate very. No, did I use the controller? No, I used the mouse because I thought I was going to use the controller, but it's not like that. Mm. You actually point to the location you want to go to, and then your character moves there. There is a inventory system that your cat has, your alien cat, and it usually contains stuff like laser guns and time bombs and that kind of thing. And you'll go to certain areas and you have to solve puzzles. You got to get from one section to the next. You're trying to return home. Why? I don't know. You were a cat before, you know, licking out of the toilet, and now you're some badass alien cat who can shoot laser guns and you're in space. Why would you want to go back to your home? I don't know. But that's the whole thing. You're trying to get back to Earth. You're trying to escape this ship. And I guess because they're experimenting on you, maybe that's your motivation.
Are you this hairy creature that you have to give the cans of food to get him out of his his bed thing? You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I am. I am the hairy creature that's on the bed. You're probably looking at pretty early on in the game, and there's a medic bed where I'm at, and I've got to bust loose. And in order to bust loose, I got to grab within my reach cans of toxic something and eat it.
This
is very nice.
Yeah, this art is metal, man. Like this.
It is so metal. It's so rad, right? I'm like, oh my god, this is gonna be so cool. So disappointed.
Oh, why? What's wrong with it?
Because all right, so the game feels like it's not quite finished, which is a shame. The potential was so great for this game, but I ended up rage quitting after about 30 minutes. I got to a puzzle that was just infuriating, and it wasn't that the puzzle was infuriating. It was the fact that my point and click, you have a little skeleton looking hand. It's your little kitty hand.
Yeah.
And you move over, you mouse over things, and you can activate them, and you know the handle, the little icon will change and let you know that you can change stuff. So when you're interacting with objects, especially like puzzles and switches, if for some reason the click spot is not right on, instead your character will move right in front of the puzzle.
Oh.
So because he'll just move right, because he's like, hey, let me move over here because you asked me to move over here, and so then he's in your way and like, no, move. And so you're constantly facing things where there's this the movement control is just so frustrating, and some of the screens there's a little bit of breakage in my immersion because the character actually walks over top of the background in a weird way. So like he'll overlap and it looks like he's floating in the air.
Sure.
Yeah, so it just didn't feel finished, which terribly disappointing for me because I really wanted this game to rock. But you know, I played like I guess it was like 99 cents when you really get down to it.
Oh, that's all. Because you got it through the thing, right?
Because I got like 5 or 6 games, so right. It's not like a huge loss. And like, oh no, I paid $30 for Altered Cosmos. I can't believe you ripped me off. But it's probably worth about 99 cents because just to see the really cool cat and kind of go through the story. The story is kind of it's got a little bit of a political slant, which is fun. And very 90s indie, you know, very angry.
Sure. Angsty, man. Everybody's pissed. Angsty. Sure.
Yeah. And I think the most biggest disappointment.
Oh, my gosh. Who's this guy in the yellow bionic suit?
Oh, yeah. He's cool, too. Yeah, I like these guys. He's, it's worth maybe at least the 99 cents to kind of go through the story, possibly. But to progress through the story, you can't because you keep getting frustrated with the clicky clicks and stuff. And
it looks like some kid just like in detention scribbled this on his desk.
I would love for them to revisit this and fix it, like an Altered Cosmos 2, where they take all the good elements of what they had and get a game designer and get somebody who can really make this game sing, you know?
Yeah, why not?
It makes me sad because the idea is really cool and really timely. Really, I feel such nostalgia for this kind of artwork right now, and it disappointed me.
Didn't do it. Gameplay didn't hold up. Yeah, that's too bad. Well, I understand. Look, we don't want to recommend a poopy game, so if this is a poop game, then
Brian, for 99 cents, I won't not recommend it because $0.99, you know.
Seems like a game that'd be all right on mobile if this is some sweet blood and guts. That guy died somehow.
Yes, it's uber violent.
Yeah,
you know, things happen like that. So it's I want to like it.
I can tell you want to like it. I can feel it in your soul.
I like it.
But you really want to
like
it
so bad.
Well, I'll tell you something you might like. I really
tell
like
me
it.
Something I might like. What okay. I really like.
It's called Barbarian. Now you've heard that word before, Barbarian.
Bob. Like Conan?
Well, there's been a million video games with the barbarian in it, but it wasn't spelled this way. This game is spelled B-A-R-B-E-A-R-I-A-I-A-N. So it's Barbar.
bear.
Yeah, like a bear, in the woods.
Right.
That's the does he poop in the woods?
Does a barbarian poop? Probably. What choices did he have?
It's a very cool little indie game made by ex-Housemark developer.
Give it to him.
Do you know who those guys are? Do you know who I'm talking about? They made a bunch of Sony stuff. My brain just went dead on them because I can't think. PS3 launch title. The Geostorm. The game where you're up in the... There's like big asteroids you got to blow up. It plays a lot like Geometry Wars. Chat room will have to remind me. I can't think of its name. They made a bunch of stuff recently. Rezogun was theirs at the launch of the PS4.
Oh, yes. I like Rezogun now. Yeah. Now you're speaking my speech.
So these guys are great. It's not them, though. This is somebody who used to work for them and has left them.
Oh.
And is now doing his own thing, or he and others are doing their own thing. And here's the premise of it. You're this barbarian guy, and you're wearing a dead bear, basically. You're wearing a bear costume, and you got an axe. And
I'm glad it was a dead bear, because I don't know how well it would go if you were wearing a live bear.
Yeah,
it might be.
Indeed. And you can pick up other weapons and stuff, but primarily your job is to swing this axe and destroy a whole lot of skeletons and creatures and bosses and stuff. And it's very satisfying. The thing that is about this game is it's very much like, go do a thing, come back here and upgrade your stuff, go back out with upgraded stuff. I wouldn't call it a roguelike per se, although there is some of that for sure, but it's mostly just it's almost like a dual stick shooter without the shooting, because you're really, it's just like dual stick axing, basically, is what it should be called. I play this with a controller. You can play with the keyboard and mouse if you want, but that's dumb. I wouldn't recommend it. I tried it that way, and it's lame. But they get a ton of enemies on screen at once. You have an ability that rushes you forward and kind of body slams everybody, and that'll kill a ton of them. You especially want to use that when you have archers to deal with. That has a cooldown on it. When the cooldown comes up, you can go do it. You also have little buddies that help you based on what you pay for in camp, so you can buy like a little helper dude. Oh, this guy's fighting the vacuum. He's not going to.
This engine looks familiar. I wonder if there's a.
I don't know. I was thinking that too when I first saw it. I mean, it's very particle-y and very like.
Right.
And it's mostly just little 2D sprites. Like, this isn't. Like, I don't think it's at all 3D.
No, it's not. It looks. I mean, when you described it as the guy wearing a bear, I thought it was very realistic, but it's just it's very cartoony.
Well, it's a little cartoon guy, like it. Yeah. None of this is taking itself seriously at all. And the other thing is, you know, like break pots, they'll poop out some of this fruit or cake, and you want to collect the fruit and cake because you can spend that in town on upgrades. So I know.
I tell you what, man, if a guy in a bear costume has some fruit and cake to sell in town.
Yeah,
I'll be all on that.
Does a bear have fruit in the woods? Is the old,
right.
Is the old saying. Anyway, the goal is not to die if you can help it. This guy I'm watching right now is about to, so he's bad, and I'm better than him because I got past this with no problem. Anyway, you don't want to die because you're gonna lose all your hooch, and you can get resurrected with like 30% less of your stuff, or you can go back to town. With nothing, I think, is the choice.
See, I'm okay with that penalty.
It's meant to be hard. It's meant to be difficult and challenging, but it's not so difficult that you're frustrated. I don't find it hard. There's no puzzles like you're worried about that thing you didn't like. It's just hack and slash your way through a bunch of skeletons and bosses and mid-bosses and try to beat each level and then go back and buy some cool upgrades.
This is only available on Steam, and the price is about $13.49 currently.
Yeah, so I got it for that. I paid $13 for it. It's on sale right now. It's a small sale because it's brand new. And what was I going to say? Oh, this is also on iOS and Android, so you can get them on phones for whatever reason. I don't know how those play. I have no idea. They do have MiFi controller support on the iOS version. I assume whatever's happening on Android can also be used with a controller. I assume there's controller support over there. I have no idea. But you have, you can have that controller experience on an Apple TV or on an iOS device or on Android.
What?
So there it is. I don't know what it costs over there. I have no idea.
Do you play any games on your Apple TV? Just curious.
Yeah, sometimes. Because the controller, because when you buy a game on the phone or right. the iPad or whatever, you now just own it on the TV thing. And
right, right.
Not every game's going to be great there, obviously, but there's some games where it's good. And if you have controller support, which I have one of those too, I bought one of those SteelSeries ones. Those are great.
Oh.
that lets me, you know, play on there on screen, and it's good. It's not bad.
Right.
But anyway, I don't do it that often. I mean, it's not like I'm super into it, but once in a while something will crop up and I'll do it. But this thing has just got kind of a Diablo addiction kind of quality to it. The combat's super strong. I mean, none of what I'm describing right here is going to tear me away from Dead Cells when I'm not playing WoW.
Oh,
playing
your Dead Cells. Game of the year. I forgot about Dead Cells. Yeah, no, go ahead.
Dead Cells is still number one for me. You got to listen, we got a couple months and then I'll be playing Red Dead and then we'll talk again. But right now that game rocks. So this isn't like going to take that place or anything. It's not that kind of game, but it's pretty neat and I like it and I would recommend it. Again, it might be just fine for people on mobile. Haven't played it. Don't know if it's any good there or not, but it's a cool game.
Do it.
Brian?
Scott, speaking of game of the year.
Yeah, what do you got?
I'm heading back to Midgard this past week.
I played this. Sorry, go ahead. I played this game.
No. We'll totally talk about it. So I got an alert. I belong where anybody can belong. I am on high alert for new games on the Google Play Store, and they sent me a notification and said, hey, guess what? Legend of Soul Guard is in early release. Hop on. So I did just that, and I did go down to Midgard and got myself a little hero there. She's kind of a redhead, kind of reminds me of Brave. What's that? What's the girl's name?
Oh, Brave? The Brave girl. Brave Junior. I don't know what her name is.
Brave Junior. So, yeah, so got me this Brave kind of character going on there, and she's out to either bring on Ragnarok or stop Ragnarok or just Ragnarok.
Yeah.
She's right. So you control this is a RPG combat kind of game. It's got a little bit of match three going on because your field of play is like about four or five rows in a square of your characters. Your characters are usually like archers and barbarians, that kind of thing. Not really barbarians. This is Midgard we're talking about.
Yeah.
So you got these different character types, typical archetypes of the RPG genre.
Yep.
And you match them in a row, and if you match them in a row, like three across, they will combine as a fence. Or if you do them vertically, they'll combine into a larger version, more fierce character. And the goal is to face head on the enemy. And as you plow through the enemy, you're closing down gates, these big icy gates. So the icy gates on the side have points. You have points behind you, and you just battle it out. And whoever's left with points moves on.
Yeah, the way I would describe this game, it bears mentioning, this is made by King, who made Candy Crush. So they know they're match three. At least they've been making $1 trillion on match three for a long time with all their variations of that game. So they know that stuff. There's a bit, like you said, a bit of the match three. There's also a little bit of a game I don't remember the name of, but there was an old mobile game where you had like huts and trees and stuff. And if you combined like three huts or four huts, they would become a bigger hut. And if you combine four bigger huts, they'd be even a bigger hut. Do you remember that? Whatever that was.
I do. It was a sliding game, and you just kept sliding things back and forth, right?
This is a lot like, so this has that for sure. That part of that is in here. Mm-hmm. And then it's got kind of a, not Hearthstone exactly, but more of a kind of Hearthstone-y.
There's a battle mode to it.
Yeah, you got to fight the other dude. He has hit points. You're trying to whittle those down. You randomly get the pieces you get when you click her, and you don't control that, kind of like a card game. And then it's a little bit like battle or... what's this, the Frieza or oh geez, my brain, where you got the two, you got the lanes and
free
the
cell.
Free, not free cell.
So, oh, Legend.
Legends. No, it's made by the
people. Legends?
No. Damn it. They make the.
Son of a.
They make that one game with the Clash of Clans, Clash Royale. That's it.
Oh, Clash Royale. Yeah.
My brain. Anyway, Clash Royale. So there's a little bit of that in there, which is kind of a lane thing going on. It's like a combination of about eight different kinds of mobile genres.
It is. And at first I was like, oh, this is so intense. But yeah, they've really got something good going on here because I played a pretty good bit. And they intentionally, the randomness of each stage you go through is really well balanced, because as you do increase, often your characters are not as easily matched up. So you have to be a little bit smarter in how you move things around. It's not like a true match three where you can do it anywhere on the screen. You have to take the character from the back of the field. They're really the only ones that can move, and you can move them up, but you can't move them. You can move them back some, but there's a limit of moves that you can make in which direction you can move in, based on how they've laid out the board. And I'm just having a good time with it.
They screwed up, though. There was an opportunity here. Remember that King is owned by Activision Blizzard, okay?
Right.
So now that they own them, they could have made this a Warcraft-themed thing or a Diablo-themed thing, and it would be selling like crazy because instead of this, you know, random girl you don't know, that could be Jaina Proudmoore with a bunch of dwarves and elves and stuff she's sending out to fight. And on the other side, the other players could pick like a Horde character and do all of that stuff. It could still be free to play. They would be making money hand over fist. Instead, they have these generic characters no one cares about doing a game that's really well made. It's a well-made game. Like this, I spent way too much time on this the other day, and I was like surprised. And I never, as much time as I put into it, I never once went, I should spend money. It never made me feel like I had to spend money the way Candy Crush or something else does. And it's actually strategically interesting. Like it's not just dumb mechanics. Like it's hard, it's tricky, you got to think ahead a little bit. There's just enough randomness to make you have to sort of, you know, worry about stuff on the fly. Like it's actually really good. It's a good little game.
And I think that almost could be solved with a little bit better storytelling, because the characters visually are not unappealing. Matter of fact, some of the characters are kind of cool looking, but I'm with you. Yeah, if you attach that to an existing property, it'd be a no-brainer, straight sale. Got it. But if they were to stay in this direction, and it did just come out, so if they had a little bit better writing for the characters, and like you said, if I actually felt something for the characters, that might would drive me to do something more. I think I even have more connection with Clash of Clans characters. Yeah. Just from their archetypes, I seem to visually relate to them. But that is lacking here. I actually do like the large bear thing.
Yeah,
he's kind of cool. I wouldn't mind having a little stuffed.
Little stuff bears cool. Chat room, City in the chat room says, this is not how companies work, referring to my idea. I'm telling you, it'll work however you make the most money. So you can say they don't work that way. It doesn't matter, dude. If let me tell you something. If Bobby Kotick and freaking Mike Morhaime got together and they said, hey, we're going to tell King to make this Warcraft themed, they'd freaking do it.
Yeah.
I'm not saying Blizzard would, but they would if the money was there.
Real early on, it's real early on for this game. And you're right. I mean, if they position themselves in the right place and kind of turn this around a little bit, use this engine, this gameplay, they could certainly do something with it. I think it would really go a long
way. Chat room first. Go ahead.
It's a great game. It's free. Grab it. Legend of Soulguard.
Yes. I'm going to also say, someone says in the chat, Might and Magic Clash of Heroes, which came out in 2009, they're saying, so basically just did those mechanics. Yes, that game is very similar. So if you're looking for a comparison here, Clash of Heroes on the DS, there's also a PC version of that. It's on Steam still. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty comparable thing. Yeah,
it is a very, very comparable game mechanic. But I'll say they did a really good job at balance in this game. And that takes a lot.
Yeah.
That I really respect when a game has this early on, has such a good balance that I'm not getting frustrated.
It feels good.
Half the battle right there.
Feels good, right? Yeah. Available now, Android and iOS for free. You can go get it and try it, see what you think. I think it's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
Now I'm going to tell you about MU Legend.
Oh, tell me about the Marvel Universe Legends?
Incorrect. Although
Universe Legends?
I wish you were right. It is. Okay, so you had your game that you were excited about and then said no. By the way, here's some sound from it.
Time ago, when Secnium, the god of destruction, awakened.
Okay, if that sounds
I like that.
If it sounds like cheap, crappy VO for an imported game that was made in Korea, then you are correct.
That makes me that makes me tingle inside.
It
I
shouldn't.
Like it.
He's not good.
He lost the fight against Secnium inside him.
It's
and
so anime.
Next on G.I. Joe.
It's so anime, dude. It's anime.
I like it, though. I like
it. It's fine. I mean, whatever. It does the job. I don't even care. Like, I'm into it if it's a good game, and I don't care about all this other stuff. I mean, I like good story. I get those from other games, though. I'm 100% cool trying out weird Korean MMOs, weird Korean action RPGs. I've been on the record before on the show where I go on these like tirades where I'll just try everything that's going on in the world of imported Korean, Chinese, and Russian games, like weird Russian games. Like, I don't know what it is. I just like to see the cultural take on similar kind of game types that I like normally. So I'm totally into it normally. This is a Korean game from a long-running series. I don't have all the details about it, so someone out there's an expert, and I'm not, so don't expect me to say expert things right now about this. But apparently the MU series...
Don't expect me to speak from a place of knowledge.
And as far as I know, it's like Mu. I don't even know if it's MU. I don't know.
Right.
I just know it says MU Legend. But
I expect you to say Mu Legends.
There you go. Nailed
it.
Nailed it. Now, there's a ton of these. I guess there's historically a whole bunch of Mu games, MU games. Mu. And this is one of them. This is the newest one. It is basically a... semi-massive multiplayer action RPG in the vein of something like Diablo, except the ladies are barely wearing any clothes. That's the main thing.
Right.
Koreans love that. For whatever reason, they're super into it. But you have different character classes. You try those character classes. They range anything from like berserker types with dual wielding to these, they're called bladers. We're looking at one now in the chat. It's got nice art, nice graphics. Like, it looks good. It also looks very anime, especially the girls just like, guys, can you have some variation?
You keep saying this looks very anime. I can't quite get it. Whether you're being sarcastic or if it
totally
that's
serious.
A good thing. It's a good thing or a bad thing?
No, what I mean by that, because I like good anime. So I'm using the wrong comparison. What I'm saying is like that kind of the approach to female characters of the you know what I'm talking about? That whole thing. They're all a bunch of
so
little
you're
skinny
talking
schoolgirls.
About the late night Japanese kind of.
Kind
of,
yeah.
Sex trash.
Yeah, that stuff.
What do they call that?
That stuff. That's the stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, it plays like Diablo, but not as well. Plays like Path of Exile, but not as well. There's a bunch of things you can buy to hurry the process up. The story's so dumb that you can't get invested in it.
Man, this looks like Diablo so hard in some of these dungeons.
Oh, yeah. Here, well, I mean, that's what they do. I'm going to skip ahead so people can see some actual... fighting here, but one
if you show me that screenshot and said, hey, here's the new Diablo, I'd be like, okay.
The one part that actually stands out to me is the combat. However, it's still not great. It's okay, and it looks pretty. The graphics are nice. The moves you have are super flamboyant and loud, and you know, there's some good crunch to the sword fighting and stuff like that. I mean, there's something there to be liked. I find the engine to be a little too, I don't know what the word is. It doesn't feel modern in a weird way. It's hard to explain.
Right.
Even Diablo 3, which isn't new, feels more modern than this. The combat and the movement's a little slow and methodic for my taste. I think you get mounts later, and they encourage you to purchase those, which probably makes a bunch of sense. I think there's also kind of an auto mode, but I haven't tried it, where your guy will just go do the quest you send him on, kind of like these mobile Korean games that I've messed with. It's all right, Brian. It's not.
Yeah.
It's free to play, so there's no reason you can't just try it, but it's 18 gigabytes. If you got bandwidth caps, I'm not sure I'd even recommend downloading it. If you don't, then maybe get it and try it. They make you jump through hoops to make an account. Like, all that kind of stuff sucks, but...
This feels like Altered Cosmos of yours, like you said at the beginning, because this looks like I'm looking at the screenshots and everything about this game says, I want to play this. This looks like a game I would like to play.
Yeah, me too. That's why I downloaded it, because I love this kind of stuff. I'm always interested. And I actually think there is incredible stuff coming out of parts of Asia game-wise. And I think that is the next big place where we're going to see some really cool innovations, but
they're really buying into the esports. I mean, we're doing it here in the U.S., but you know, Asia.
Well, yeah, I mean, esports
is all about the esports.
Sure, esports, but in this case, even like they're just making. There's no esports involved in this, but it's just, it's just a Diablo ripoff. Like it's not and not a good one. And there are a million of these. I know. I could go look at others. There's one called Ark that's been forever delayed that I want to get my hands on. That looks super cool, but I don't know what the deal is with that thing. I don't think it's going very well. There's also a lot of questing in this game that's like WoW questing. It's like, oh, here's an egg. Go pick it. Okay, take the egg. I need four of these eggs. Bring them back to town for me. There's a lot of that going on.
They don't pick eggs. What kind of weird universe are we living in?
Right. So, and also their login screen was all janked and kind of weird. Like, I don't think they...
I always feel dirty creating accounts on those kind of games because it's like, oh, this is like a ripoff. It's like all they did was they took it and they found some source code to Diablo and... they've been, you know, retro in it, and
a little
all they're doing is just all they're doing is stealing my information.
More than that, it's like they made a game to steal your information. Like almost,
yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it feels like.
Yeah. And this game, I know it has a huge following over there. I don't want to discount that. A lot of people are really into this series over there. It's, you know, it's like saying Diablo here. It's a big deal. Yeah. People are into it, but I just could not go on very long. In fact, it's already uninstalled. So it's one I've been playing.
I recaptured that 18 gigs real quick.
Yeah, I did. I've been playing it. It's fine, whatever. I mean, if you're bored with everything ever and you got no other games to play, I guess play this. It's all right.
If you got a little insomnia maybe one night and you're just like, yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Yeah. The chat room surprised. They're like, this is 18 gig. And I agree. Like, it is way.
Yeah, but that's because like 10 gigs of it is the botnet they're putting on your computer.
I know. That's what I was worried about, part of it. I did do some checking, though, to see what's up. And it's apparently all super reputable and everyone trusts this WebZen or whoever they are. So it's fine. It's not even just a problem with, oh, it's weird and foreign. I don't have a problem with that. I just want a good game. And these guys made kind of an okay approach to a game, and then it just is mediocre.
What would Diablo be like if it was just free? I mean, what would it really be like?
Well, I don't know.
There's a value to buying something. Sometimes
if Blizzard had a good payment model for it, I'd get it for free.
Right.
Because I trust Blizzard. I don't, you know, these other guys, I don't know them. Blizzard, that's the thing. Blizzard's earned all this for years. For 25 years, they've earned where they are at, and they've earned that trust, and they've earned the gamer recognition and loyalty. Like, that's a hard thing to earn, and it takes decades to do it in the way that they've done it. These other guys are like, hi, we're WebZen, and here's a weird, weird thing with a terrible translation and an awful VO work and kind of crappy graphics and marginal gameplay.
It is amazing that they were to make something so Diablo-esque with the Unreal Engine. I mean, that's a great flexible engine, but it's pretty impressive nonetheless, even if there is some gankiness to it.
Once again, Free Ranger is depressing me. He reminds me that Marvel Heroes was free and it was a good Diablo clone. I agree. I love that game.
Yeah, that's true.
I hate that they took that out. It was good. And, dude, Path of Exile, great game. They have a great payment model. They're always putting out new content. They have some rad stuff at the end of this month. These can be done. They don't have to be premium experiences. They can be done. But MU Legend ain't it. Blah.
Woo.
Watch Castle Play says Diablo Heroes was bad, guys. There is no Diablo Heroes. What are you talking about? What game is Diablo Heroes? There's no Diablo Heroes.
I would play that.
I don't know what he's talking about. Is he just saying Diablo in general?
Maybe he's
bad?
Making a joke. Maybe his joke went right over our head. Maybe we're just
Diablo Heroes was bad. Sorry, guys. And then he says he's an idiot. I don't know what he means.
No, you're not an idiot.
I don't think he's an idiot. Seems just fine to me. Hey, Brian, tell me about Knowledge is Power.
Knowledge is Power. It's not really a game as much of a life philosophy. No, it's a game also. PS4 this month, free. In addition to some other games, I picked up this one, Knowledge is Power. Grab your cell phones and load up your PlayLink version of Knowledge is Power and get to playing some fun, good times trivia with your family or couch buddies.
Oh, so it's like the bald guy games.
It's like the Jackbox kind of stuff. Yeah, it's kind of like that, but it's hard to argue with Jackbox. That is a well-oiled, polished machine.
Yeah.
But this is a little bit different, and I think, just from what I played, it's a little more family-friendly. Jackbox, while you could play with your family, it's a little bit crass, right? A little bit sometimes.
Is it?
Well, maybe for not the Johnson household. I don't know how you guys live, but sometimes they throw in the innuendos pretty hard. This one was fine to play with my 10-year-old who went back to school today. And we thought we'd get her brain fired up with playing a little bit of this Knowledge is Power game on the PS4. Straightforward. So you know how Jackbox, you know how the Jack stuff, all that, you don't know Jack. You can do some pretty simple stuff you can screw the opponent, which is, you know, you put the screw to them and you force them to answer in a certain amount of time.
Sure.
Blah, blah, blah. So the same here, except you get these power plays where you can do different things to different characters. You can say like, oh, I'm going to throw a freeze on you. And what happens is on their phone, when they go to answer the question, the answer is usually laid out in a grid of four. The options are usually four to the for whatever you have. And normally you would just click it. You know, you're just like, oh, look, it's Justin Bieber. Click. And but when you freeze somebody, they have to actually tap it a whole bunch of times and break through the ice before they can get to the answer. And that slows them down, and it can affect their score, because the quicker you answer, the more points you get.
Yeah.
So you have some other forms too. You've got slime, which really threw me away the first time, because somebody put slime on me, and you have to swipe it off your screen. Problem is, I got a little too overzealous, and I have an Android, and I pulled down, you know, my settings screen on accident, and I totally popped out of the game. So it really screwed me over. But you've got different little power plays you can do like that. At the beginning of each question round, there's generally four doors, and there'll be four topics, and you choose a topic by going to stand in front of the door. If a majority of the players choose that door, it's automatically picked. If not, it may go to a random choice, or everybody gets at least one, and I think there's 10 rounds when we played it. Everybody gets at least one power pick where they can boop and to say, I'm going. We're all going. I don't care if you all picked Disney movies. I picked Cardi B trivia, and we're playing that one. Boop. And that's what happens. So there's definitely an aggravation factor. This fun in this game, and we had a ton of fun. We were laughing, having a good time, up until the question about name the only beardless Seven Dwarf. And my significant other said, I got this, no problem, I know. Click. No, that's not the right one!
Mm.
And so, needless to say, that was the topic of conversation for the rest of the day.
So these, let me ask you a question about the, it's all phone control, right? You're using all your phones, tablets, whatever. Yes. Okay. This commercial that I watched, or the promo I showed the chat room, they had an extraordinary number of Sony-branded phones. That does not indicate anything, right? You can use whatever phone you got.
Yeah, you can use that. You should be able to use any app store that carries the Android store. Definitely carries all of our phones are Androids. I'm sure they have iPhones. It'd be foolish not to. And it is fun because they make use of your cell phone and the fact that you pick your characters and the characters you pick. Like I picked the man in the hot dog suit.
And so...
You pick him, and then it will ask for your permission to use your camera, and you can take a little picture of your avatar, and that'll show up your stupid face.
Is the art meant to look like those old like Heat Miser animations?
Yes.
Okay, kind of digging on that. Yeah, that's cool.
It's definitely got a specific style that is a lot of fun. It's big. It's big and silly and fun and free on if you have PlayStation Plus.
I'm gonna have to pick this up. It looks all right.
Absolutely. It's all right. We had a good time. And it's just short enough. Because sometimes I always feel like some of the You Don't Know Jack games, I feel like it goes just a little bit too long. I'm almost ready for everybody to lose. There are lightning rounds in this game as well. It's mostly matching. Like the one we had last night was matching Dave Grohl with the band Foo Fighters.
Oh. No,
it was like a whole bunch of different musicians, and you matched them with the bands and stuff, and you just slide and pull and it was a lightning round doing that and a couple other things too. So it's all these lightning rounds. If you like these couch co-op trivia games, this one's fun and it's clean. To me, it's a little cleaner than the Jackbox.
Jackbox has a lot of subtle adult humor meshed in that you may not catch if you're a little kid. But if you're like 14, you're like, I get it. Like screwing your other players, stuff like that. Like there's a lot in there.
Right.
I agree. So this is good. Good for the whole family. Free if you have PlayStation Plus, which isn't really free because you're paying for a thing. But hey, it's kind of like free.
You was going to pay for it anyway, right?
This is all true. Okay.
Knowledge is power.
So is this.
It's me, Mario.
It's time for Guess My Game. Poor guy. I don't know who that is, but I keep using it.
Oh, I know. It's like, oh, so painful.
This is a segment on the show where we play a clip from an old game. Sometimes it can be new too. It doesn't matter. We have rules for this, but a game that we try to stump each other and make each other see if they can think of what it is. It's done by audio only. I'm going to start with my clip. Brian, are you ready to try to guess my game?
Give me the game. Give me your audio goodness.
Here it is. part might give it away, but we'll see. Any ideas yet?
This seems so simple. I know I'm gonna get it wrong.
I'll tell you, it's 8-bit. It was an arcade game, and a home version of this was made. Any ideas?
Oh my god, it's so familiar. I don't want to.
Fries are done.
I don't want to get. It's definitely a cart game.
Not a cart game, but you're in the right zone.
Okay, well, it's definitely a racing game of some sort, right?
Absolutely, it is, yes. Any guesses?
But it's not a cart game?
Nope. You're going to be mad at yourself when you know, when I tell
it's
you.
I'm going to be so pissed.
Yeah. Chat room knows it. Don't look at the chat because that'd be cheating, but chat room got it. See if you know it. Do you know it? Do you give up?
Pole position 2.
Nailed it. No, incorrect. The answer is Excitebike.
Oh my God, come on.
For a bike.
Oh, I played that game a million times.
Made for, of course, the arcade as well as the... Oh, they had it in that multiplay arcade box, which is really just an NES with multiple game carts in it, sort of.
Oh, man, have you noticed how many of the these inexpensive arcade game consoles are going for now?
These
little prefab things, like $300 at Walmart.
I bought one. It's coming in September. I'm stoked.
Crazy.
Yeah, that one's got Joust and a bunch of stuff on it, and... I can hack that mother and put all kinds of stuff on it. Yeah, I'm very excited. Anyway, I had to get the Joust one. I just had to. And they were on sale. They're normally like $500. They were like $299. I'm like, yeah, I'm getting one. I have to. And so I did. I'm calling it a business expense. All right, I'm going to play Brian's. I don't know what it is, but I'm going to play it and see if I can figure it out. Here we go. Familiar so far. Also an 8-bit game, I take it. 8-bit
yeah,
era.
Yeah. And these are we do a little easier games, which is even worse because when you miss a hard one, everybody feels okay about it. But when you miss an easy one,
yeah,
you get the hard times.
I think I know it.
Yeah, the people in the chat room aren't having too much trouble with it.
I'm not looking at them. I'm going to say, here's my guess.
Do it.
Oh, I'm not going to get the right one, though. That's one of the Mega Men games.
Yes, right.
But let's see if we can get which one.
How about I give you a release year? Would that help?
Yes.
1988. 88? December the 24th, the day before Christmas. I don't have time to go out and buy that.
Yeah, no kidding. That was released on Christmas Eve.
Christmas Eve.
Well, that's probably one then. Just regular Mega Man. Yeah?
Wrong. So close.
Two?
Mega Man 2.
Ah, frick. Mega Man 2 is the best one. I should know that. I should recognize that. That's a great game. It's really hard, though. Freaking hard. Not only was it hard to play, it was hard to go get because you had to go there at Christmas Eve on the eve of Christmas. That's terrible.
It's crazy. Crazy.
Ah, that's good
stuff. Or in Japan, they knew it as Rockman 2.
Yeah, Rockman?
Mystery of Dr. Wily. Is an action game.
Yeah, you know who Dr. Wily is, right? You know who that is?
Dr. Wily.
It's this guy right here. Oh,
that's a good question.
That's him for the translation to the American version. That's him saying.
Paging Dr. That's a good
Wily.
Question.
Hey, paging Dr. Wily. Hey, Mega Man. It's like the worst translation in the history of video games.
It really is.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
Ah.
All right, good stuff. Time for a quick news story. Hey, NVIDIA had their thing today on stage.
Yeah, they did.
They went nuts, too. NVIDIA's new high-end graphics cards have been announced. They are the RX 2070 and the RX 2080 graphics cards. These are the brand new GeForce cards that are the heir apparent to the 1080s and the like that we've had for a little longer this time. A little more time in between releases.
Miners just... threw a monkey wrench into the whole deal.
They kind of did. And you might want to be a successful Bitcoin miner to afford these new cards because they're very expensive. There's the GeForce RTX 2070, the RTX 2080, and then the RTX 2080 Ti. So that's typical for them. They have kind of an entry-level or more entry-level, a kind of general mid-range like the 1080 right now. And then there's the Ti line, which is like the high-end stuff. They announced this during a pre-Gamescom 2018 live stream from Cologne, Germany. And let's see, these new 20 series cards will succeed NVIDIA's current lineup of GPUs. This time around, it's releasing the RTX 2080 and 2080 Ti all at once. Last time they separated that out. They will not come cheap. Here's your pricing. The NVIDIA manufactured Founders Edition card will cost $599 for the RX 2070. That's the low end one, though.
That is what they, the 60s usually is what they consider the very scraping the bottom of the video game barrel. Then the 70s is right where most gamers feel comfortable. And then the 80 is, yeah, baby. And then you want a TI. Yeah, I want a TI or a 90. Woo!
Yeah. Well, now you're going to get the, so you're going to get that for $600. For the 2080, you're going to pay $799, $200 more. So $800 for that booger. And for $1,199, you can get the RTX 2080 Ti. The latter two cards are expected to ship on and around September 20th. There is no estimated release date for the 2070. Pre-orders are currently up for the 2080 and 2080 Ti.
I don't buy any NVIDIA card unless it's got a Ti at the end.
Really?
Yeah.
Those are so expensive.
I don't know why. I've every time they have the reviews that come in for these cards. By the way, why they went from 10 to 20 when they had been going 7, 8, 9, 10, and I was like, oh, we're going to go to 20. You know, that's the first numbers of the or the generation numbers of these cards. And the TIs always seem they're a little bit more, but not so much more.
Well, it in always this case, seems like they get. Yeah, but this is more than double the price of the 2070. The TI.
Right, but that's the 2070. So are you saying the 2070 TI is double the price of the 2070?
No, the 2080 Ti. There is only one Ti.
Okay, so that's a big jump though from a 2070 to a 2080, and then to put the Ti on that, that's a pretty big performance jump.
Okay, if you go
be able to use it?
If you go from the 2080 to the 2080 Ti, right. That's $800 versus $1,200.
Right, and so, it's foolish because there's nothing currently that you'd be able to use it for. But if you got the money,
yeah. I mean, everything would run real good. I want one. I can't.
Right. I would love one. I can't even afford a 1080 Ti.
Yeah. I don't know if they're set a little higher than usual to stave off Bitcoin miners from gobbling them up, or if there's some other reason why they're more. I don't know. They demonstrated a bunch of cool stuff on there. The RTX effect stuff that they're using in a couple of upcoming games looked really cool. You know, whatever. Next generation video card, yo.
It's here, baby. But if you're a gamer like me, better wait.
You better wait.
I don't know if you can. I can't afford that yet.
That's right. I'm gonna wait. I got a 1080. I'm fine. I'm good for a while. I don't need this right away. My son, who's in the 9 series, is not happy. But whatever.
Yeah.
Hey.
Well, I mean, you know, if a 980. Is better than having like a 1060.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. The high end of the last generation is better than the low end of the current.
Right.
And so I'm probably okay for a while. I got an email from Rob from Texas. This is our email segment, by the way. Boopshow@gmail.com. Rob from Texas wrote in, says, hey guys, there's an interesting game that just came out on Steam called Graveyard Keeper. It's a bit like Stardew Valley in that you upgrade and manage a farm and the land around it. However, you're also the caretaker of the local graveyard. It gets pretty deep, too. Yeah. Not only are you the caretaker, but you also become the prior of the upgradable church. What? Oh, the prior. Like in the church. Yeah, I'm not thinking right. The prior of the upgradable church and graveyard belongs to, so you're kind of like the preacher man. And each week on Sunday, you perform ceremonies for a currency called faith that you can do various things with.
I love this.
There's also a whole science side of the game where you can conduct autopsies on the corpses before you inter them there and use that information for a science currency. It also has your standard Stardew Valley Harvest Moon Affair stuff, which includes farming, fishing, mining, schmoozing town folk, etc. Definitely worth the $20 price tag. It's up on Steam, he says. Hope you like it.
Oh, he's pitching bodies into the stream. Oh, this is
Yeah.
This is it.
I feel like I may need to get this. I like Stardew Valley quite a bit, but I was always kind of hankering for something with a little bit more of an edge to it. This sounds like it. Let me see if it is available anywhere else for any other discounts so we can give people the right direction to go. Where do you always check? You always have some place you check, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Is there any deal? Is the place isthereanydeal.com? That is a usually keeps all the prices in line for you so you'll know what you're doing.
Yeah. Oh, look at this. He's throwing corpses in the water, dude.
I love that. I love the idea. I'm reading a few reviews. Most of the reviews are mostly positive, but I do see a few people who are like, oh, disappointed. I'm like, oh, I'm still so scarred from Alter Cosmos.
I think I'm going to check this out. I'm kind of jonesing for this experience. What's the overall reviews look like?
It's pretty good. It's mostly positive.
Okay.
Some of the late game reviews, like people are playing all the way to the end, it seems like some of the people are not as satisfied with the late gameplay.
Well, interesting. By the time you get to aren't you done? Aren't you just tired of it anyway?
Right. They got an art book. That's pretty cool. Yeah, it looks like Fanatical has this for $15.99. You may remember those guys. Used to have a different name.
Mm-hmm.
What was Fanatical? But I trust those guys. I have quite a bit of games from them, and it is on sale for $15.99. That's a good deal.
Mostly positive. Seems pretty strong. Almost 1,500 reviews. I feel like I'm...
Tempting. Tempted.
I'm tempted. Don't show me stuff like this. It's a bad time right now. I got a lot of games to play. What the frick? No, we appreciate emails like this, especially this kind where they make recommendations about stuff we hadn't heard of or hadn't been messing around with yet. That's Rob from Texas. Thank you for that. If you want to send your own emails in, boopshow@gmail.com. If you're in the chat room right now and you hang around till the end of the show, I got some good news for you because we're giving away some game codes today. And we're always looking forward to that. So if you are into such ideas as game codes, then you too will be the owner of a game code shortly, possibly. You got to get lucky, I suppose. So hang around. Yeah, hang around. Don't go anywhere. This will be coming up right after the show. A reminder, we can be found at frogpants.com/BOOP. You can find the email address and all other contact info. Our Reddit page stuff is there. If you want to find me and Brian on Twitter, you can. First of all, the show's at Boop Show on Twitter. You can also find me and Brian. Brian's at the Brian Dunaway. I'm at Scott Johnson. And I think that's it. Brian, any final thoughts before I shut down this hose?
No, turn the hose off, Scott.
Turn the hose off. It's coming off. We'll see you guys next week.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
I don't like steam.
Yeah.
I don't like a steam.
You no like a steam?
I don't like a steam, no.